This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm at DevOps World, Jenkins World. I'm here with Mo from CloudBees.
Hello, I'm Mo. I'm the VP Cloud at CloudBees. I joined CloudBees for the CodeChip acquisition. So I was the founder and CEO at CodeChip. CloudBees acquired CodeChip, I think, a year and a half ago, at the beginning of last year. And I'm responsible for two areas. The first one is M&A and acquisitions. I was responsible for Electric Cloud and Rollout as an acquisition. And we did that earlier this year. And then the second area is I'm responsible for certain product areas. One is Jenkins X and everything around Jenkins X, and then Rollout and CodeChip.
You're making two very big announcements around cloud here this week at DevOps World. Can you give us a bit more on them?
Yeah, so we are doing a lot of work with Google, which is very exciting. And Google is really doubling down on their Entos strategy, and they're talking about that for a while now. And Entos is a really interesting approach and super important for us because it enables a customer to run workloads on Google Cloud. Every cloud provider wants to do that, but then also on-premise and also on other cloud providers, which I think is changing the landscape quite a bit. It's not just about it has to be on my cloud, it can't be on your cloud. And that's very important because what we hear from customers over and over again and what we see in large Fortune 100 customer accounts is that they use all the cloud providers. They use a variety of different technologies. They're not standardizing on one cloud provider. The strategy is really good and it plays really well with what we are doing. When we look at our whole customer base and with the reach CloudBees has today, we need to be able to serve every customer wherever they are. That could mean they're very cloud native, right? If you look at a CodeChip customer, or if you look at customers that use Jenkins X, they're fairly forward looking. They use Kubernetes, they do cloud native development, they're fully buying into that. That's great. But then we also have many more traditional companies that still have applications and will have applications for a very long time or forever that run on premise. For those customers, we also need to offer a solution and we need to take them by the hand and help them on their journey to the cloud. And Google Entos plays into that strategy because if you can deploy CloudBees Core on top of Google Entos, that means it can run in the cloud, it could run on-premise, it could run on all the cloud providers. That obviously is a very, very good match.
We've seen the use of cloud by developers for a number of years. It started with virtualization. It's exactly what we want. We can run our apps at scale, we can test our apps at scale. But one of the challenges with that is testing that app with real-world data. Because we can test with all the fake data we like, but the app's going to fail when we go into production. Once we start to talk about cloud and real-world data, how do we get better security awareness with developers that you can't just take a dump of the company data, stick it up in somebody's cloud, and hope it's never going to leak?
It's hard. There is no magic silver bullet, and we can't just hope it happens automatically. And it has a lot to do with tooling and processes, but it's primarily a huge culture change. It's required for those teams and developers to work in a different way. And so we can't just expect to say, okay, we developed applications that run on top of our own hardware in our own data center, and tomorrow they will change and it runs all on a cloud provider. We do it in the exact same way, right? You have to retrain and relearn, and that just takes time. And that requires that you hire maybe some new people. And it also requires that you work with your existing developers and just help them transition to the cloud world and help relearn and help buy into those new mental models that exist in the cloud that are just very different. You can still do it step by step, right? You don't have to say, okay, we shut down all our data centers by the end of the year because that's our decision and then everything has to be in the cloud. You can do it step by step, focus on, as a first step, developing all new applications in the cloud. Whenever you start a new project, it should be by default, I think, in the cloud, unless there's a very, very strong and good reason why it shouldn't. That's a good first step. And then you can think about, okay, we are refactoring certain applications. Let's start to slowly move them to the cloud. Do it step by step, maybe not automatically deploying into a production environment, but at least an internal staging environment. Maybe let's start using feature flags. Like, let's do it step by step and get the confidence over time and get into that rhythm that you need to develop for that world. Then it's possible. A lot of the disappointments we are seeing or the issues are happening because there is an expectation mismatch and companies just expect it magically can happen because we hear so much about the cloud and it's there and it needs to happen right now.
I'm glad you mentioned step by step because there is this assumption that we just throw it in the cloud and somehow the software fairy will come along and everything will be wonderful and bright and rainbows will ensue and it'll be safe. That's not the case. It's an architectural change. It's a cultural change. It's a mental shift for a lot of people. We've tried to push companies there sometimes too quickly. How do we get them to settle down, understand that this is a gradual process, they don't have to rush, but at the same time, don't let them use that as an excuse to not go?
They still need to make it a priority. It shouldn't be an excuse, because if that happens, there are many forces in play in larger companies that hold you back. You sometimes really need that urgency and you need the driving force to get the company to innovate. We shouldn't lean back and just wait. It's hard because in its core, it's a cultural change, and every cultural change, especially if it's a large organization with thousands of people, then thousands of people, it's hard. What I have seen working, as you said, step by step, take certain teams. I'm pretty sure in every company out there, there are teams that are more forward-looking, that work on applications and products that are easier to migrate, or they can maybe start from scratch for a certain area. If you do that well and then showcase the success in those areas and have role models and have people that can go in other teams, and you can move an architect from one team into another team, and you can move an engineering leader from one part of the organization to another organization, that really helps to change it over time. But there's no way that it won't happen overnight again. It just needs time.
Those companies that have started to move to the cloud have looked around for the right platform to start developing on, but they found themselves then locked into the cloud on which that platform runs. And that's something that's happened for as long as I've been around software development, which is the early 1980s. We move to something, we take advantage of what is there, then when we want to move it elsewhere, we suddenly find some of those things we've done don't translate very quickly. As you're setting out a cloud strategy here, how challenging is it for you to say, okay, this is what we're going to use as technologies, this is how we're going to provide it forward to customers, but we have to make sure that they can deploy that on any cloud, at any time, in any place? Because otherwise, it's not really cloud native, is it?
We are in a good place, though, because there are so many trends and forces underway in our industry, right? Kubernetes is very helpful in that regard, or just the rise of open source software in general. And we are, as a company, obviously very bullish on open source, and we have multiple open source projects. But a company should avoid vendor lock-in to a high degree. There are cases where it might make sense. There are certain areas, but you as a company, you need to stay flexible because you need to change constantly. The reason why we talk about the topic of cloud today is because it was a sudden change. It happened fairly quickly and companies are now reacting to it. If you use the right mix of vendors and open source projects and think really hard about what are those building blocks that everybody is standardizing on, and Kubernetes is a good example, then you're in a good place. Right? I'm not saying that everybody's using Kubernetes or that it's great for everything, but if you have to make one bet and pick one underlying platform, Kubernetes is a good bet right now. And we will see more and more.
So the obvious comeback here is, when am I going to go along to the Jenkins website and find all your tools in a Kubernetes container that I can just deploy?
I think we will get there.
No. Let's not have this, I think we will get there. When will you start to do this?
In that case, it's not about Kubernetes specifically. What we are doing is, you want a button that you can press to deploy, let's say, CloudBees Core on top of GKE, EKS, AKS, and we are doing that. We need to do it for all of our products. Jenkins obviously works for everything. If you look at Jenkins X, we just released the first Jenkins X distribution by CloudBees, and that happened 2 weeks ago. And it's currently focused on GKE, but there is no doubt that we will work on AKS and then EKS next, or the other way around. Everything we do today is focused on making sure it works on all the big cloud providers and Kubernetes directly as well. Kubernetes is great, but what I think we have to be careful of is, when we think about Kubernetes and what should we support and what we shouldn't support, if you go to the CNCF's website and you look at Kubernetes, they have this term, right? There are all the Kubernetes platforms that are officially supported or got the blessing by the CNCF. There are, I don't know how many by now, and because every provider, every vendor has some flavors of Kubernetes. We are very careful and mindful about what we really support, because we can't say, okay, all our products work on 50 different systems and various combinations, because it would be impossible for us to support and make sure that our customers have a great experience.
But this is not a new problem. I'm old enough to remember the debacle we had with Unix, when even if you use Kernighan and Ritchie C, you could not easily move from one Unix platform to another. We've seen that repeated with versions of Linux, although Linux has now baked itself down into a small enough number of versions. If we look at Cloud Foundry, we have Pivotal, a couple of others, but then there's a very limited set of official Cloud Foundry distributions. As you say with Kubernetes, we're 60 to 70 official distributions. This doesn't send a great message to enterprises that are risk averse, that are worried about the cloud. How do we abstract that from them? What work do we need to do as an industry to remove that abstraction problem of, oh, is it going to run on version 1 or on flavor 8 or flavor 95?
I have two answers to that. The first one is there's just a lot of hype happening right now, and I think Kubernetes is still on that upwards trend, on that hype cycle. Whenever that happens, and we've seen that with other technologies, everybody jumps on board. Everybody has a Kubernetes solution or a solution for technology X, Y, and Z. What will happen over time, and that's I think normal, is that many of those solutions will go away. They will be less and less adopted, and the market agrees on, okay, here is a shorter list and people are using those, and then it will be easier for every company and everybody who wants to build a product in the space to say, okay, I pick those five. It's already happening. I mean, we made a decision for us that GKE is really important for us, and then AKS and EKS are really important for us. With that, we cover the majority of the market by far. That trend will continue, and then we will see fewer real platforms with real usage. It will sort itself out. It will also, and that's the other answer, we will see more abstraction. If you look at Decton, Google open source Decton, it's part of the CDF together with Jenkins and Jenkins X and Spinnaker. Decton is awesome because when I look back, when we started CodeChip, there was not really a CI/CD as a service product out there. And then there was CodeChip and a couple of other solutions within a year. And back then, like what we used is we built directly on top of Amazon and EC2. And that for us was amazing. You can get a new instance automatically, and it's amazing. But if you look at what's available today or even a couple of years ago, then you had Docker, and then you had Kubernetes, and now you have Decton that sits on top of Kubernetes. You will see more and more abstraction happening. And that will, again, help to move the industry forward, because for everybody who wants to build a product and for every developer, they have to worry about fewer and fewer of the underlying pieces. It also makes the whole picture a little bit more complex. And we see that when we help customers with, let's say, Kalpis core running on top of Kubernetes, we often have to also answer Kubernetes questions that have nothing to do with our products. But over time, more and more people will be skilled in those technologies and then know enough about it and use the abstractions to build better products, which I think is great.
So you came from CodeChip. You were responsible for the Electric Cloud acquisition. What's missing? What do you want? If I drag Sasha in here and he said to you, here's a checkbook, what do you want to go and buy? What is on your list that you want to add here?
That's a good question, because with Electric Cloud and then especially Rollout as well, we feel very bullish on what we have, and it feels fairly complete, because when you look back a year ago, many people already use Jenkins and Kalpis core to not just do CI, but also to deploy into their different environments. But Kalpis was still seen as a CI company to a high degree. That changed because Electric Cloud is very well known for their work in the release automation space around CD. And then Rollout is one step further. It's already deployed. It's in your production environment. Now we do a pretty big chunk of the developer's workflow, which is awesome. I'm not sure if we right now really need to acquire another company. The problems that we are now looking into when I think of Jenkins X, for example, is how can we not just do CI and CD and then use feature flags and progressive delivery and gradually roll out, but how can you actually know that what's being deployed to production really works? And really works can mean for the developer an error rate doesn't go up, or a certain page loads still on time, and other more technical metrics. It could also mean that a product manager wants to know, well, we actually made that code change for a certain reason. We're not just writing code for fun. We do, but at work, our development team made certain code changes for a reason. Now they are in production and they're used by 10% of our users and customers. Is what we thought would happen? Is a conversion rate going up? Are more people purchasing? Is our recommendation engine performing better? Are those changes really happening? That should be identified automatically, and we should surface that to the people who are building those products. When I think about that problem, I'm not sure if we could find a company right now that does it well and acquire a product. I think we have to build it ourselves, and we put a lot of effort into that.
It's interesting. I'm listening to you talk about those metrics, and I remember rich internet applications when they first appeared. And one of the pieces I wrote as an analyst was I was starting to see developers embed flags inside to get those metrics back. How were users working through these internet pages with their mice? How often were these features used? How often were those features used? And those metrics were being used to decide the next generation of what they did. But rich internet applications have gone away. How do we create a new world of metrics that really does drive accelerated software delivery?
Many people already being very focused on, okay, what are the metrics around the CI/CD process that we should measure and how can we improve those? And not like the majority of the market and companies out there, they still need to fully adopt CI and then CD and get onto that train. It always takes time until everybody has adopted it. There's no doubt where the industry is moving, that we actually need to look way beyond that and not just focus on technical metrics. Because at the end of the day, when we as an exec team sit down at CloudBiz, we are not looking at how frequently are we deploying. Not that we don't care about it, but it's too technical, right? What's the impact on the user and on the customer, because we are getting faster and faster and faster in building capabilities into a certain product. It doesn't help us. I think it's a proxy for something else. We need to look at the actual metrics you want to impact, and that is maybe a NPS type score that shows how excited are your customers about recommending your product to their friends and peers. It might be, again, a very specific product metric, an engagement metric, an activation rate, a conversion rate. You need to focus far more on those. Because otherwise, we're still in that vacuum of and silo. We are developing applications and we're trying to optimize the workflow around developing applications, and we lose sight of why we are developing applications in the first place. And we do it to serve our customers better, and it could be external, it could be internal customers. But there's a reason why we write those applications.
I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very challenging to get those metrics. And I love to see what you're going to do in the next year in cloud.
There are many tools out there already. There are a lot of BI tools. There's the whole logging APM space, and you can get a lot of data out there. It will be challenging, but it's where we have to go.
I think it's going to be the integration of those tools into what we do now that's going to be the big challenge. Mo, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.